Lord, we thank you for this meeting today morning. We thank you for everything that you've spoken already. You hear our prayers. Our words are weak, what we can say about you, but still we want to proclaim you. Oh Lord, we pray that you can reveal yourself, you can show yourself in your gloriousness, glory. And I must say, I'm very glad that at this conference, in the meetings, we pray again and again, and we pray much. And we are not just giving an interpretation about Christ, but we come to the Lord directly. And, well, I think we do this, but if I want to say, if not every single one of us does not come to the Lord at this conference, then he has missed something at this conference. He may have learned something about Christ, but it would be so unfortunate. So let us also practice to seek the Lord directly, to come to him in prayer and to tell him, "Oh Lord, reveal yourself to me." Just as Paul says, he says he does not want to say something about Christ in Colossians 1:28, him we preach, him. Well, he knew probably that his interpretation of Christ would not be sufficient. He wanted to preach the Christ himself, and that is also he testifies in other provisions when he talks about the gospel. He says, Jesus, they preach as the gospel. So today we do not talk about an interpretation of him. And also what I like, Paul is active. We want to work together with Christ. We do not just want to wait what the Lord will do, but while we are patiently waiting for him to do something, then we are active. And a great mystery, also a mystery that we can explore might not explore in all variety, but it is worth to work together with Christ. And Paul, he says, he is in a great conflict. He has a great conflict. But Christ, hasn't he already paid the price? Hasn't he said at the cross, it is fulfilled? Yes. Yes, but exactly therefore, we want to get into Christ, because we can entirely lay upon what Christ has done already for us. So, well, who likes to fight? I like to fight when I know that there is a gain, a reward. But what is visible here, this is a conflict, a fight, but for brothers and sisters. And, well, there is a fight against the enemy, but today morning we shall see also we have conflict for the saints that the Lord provided us with. In Jeremiah he says that as well. Let us fight for brothers, for sisters, for your families. And these are for we have this conflict today. And this fight, this conflict, it has a good outcome. And Paul, he is active for every person. I have for you and those in Laodicea, this writing for the saints or for the brothers and sisters, for our brothers and sisters. But here he says, I have jeden Menschen.
Offensichtlich sogar für die, die noch gar nicht glauben, aber natürlich besonders für die Hausgenossen.
So for every man and he or for every person he has this conflict.
Dafür einzustehen.
And it's good to have intercessions for that. Let's read this verse in 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And this is what Paul exhorts, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks to be made for all men. That is the beginning of this conflict, or a good part of this conflict is prayer for all men. So, I think in the past years we all learned to pray more. The Lord has shown us or to brought us to situations in which you could see, oh, there's no going forward, or how should I go left, or should I go right, and no way is this working, or I go straight, and this is also not the right way, or so then what shall we do? We pray. Well, also, we can also have methods or man-made methods. So if in this world you have a high position or a leadership position, and then you learn to arrange things so that your task is going in the direction in which it's supposed to go or to motivate. But the spiritual fight begins with prayer. So, let us not live in the way of this world, but first of all, to pray and for all men. And the Lord, He listens to this prayer, and the Lord does according to this prayer, which are incredible. And we testified, or in the past conferences, we heard testimonies how the Lord listens to prayers. And sometimes it's even shocking how the Lord listens to prayer. And I find, or if I tell the Lord, I have no way, I don't see any way, but then I'll submit this to the Lord, then He listens to my prayer. But still, we work together with Him. So after we have prayed, so Paul, he says, I exhort. Oh, Paul, he is exhorting. He's admonishing. You might think, oh, do not exhort too much. And in Greek, the word also means encourage. So I would say it's both. Well, maybe the sense of encouraging is might be more comfortable, but we need both, like admonish and encourage, and a word of exhortation and a word of encouragement. So I have to say a bit exaggerating. Oh, I say, oh, I'm big enough. So accomplished a lot. So in school, if you finished with your school, with the A-levels, oh, then you're finished with school. Well, 10 years of studying, might be 12 years or 13 years, and then finally you're finished. You have learned everything. The teachers, they stay in school, and well, we walk gladly our way. But then in the next part of your education in university or somewhere else, then, well, there's some more to learn. And then you think, oh, now I have my bachelor or my master's, or I have my final certification, and then, okay, now I don't need to study anymore. But then you reach the point and there's still something more to learn. So what do I want to say with this? So if in the worldly things we will continue to learn, how much more in spiritual things? And we want to gain more, have more understanding, but not only according to our knowledge. So maybe you reach the point after verses, you have reached some level of understanding. You can explain things in the verses. You can explain connections between verses. But still, there is something more to learn. And it is precious that we have saints, brothers in the church life that can also preach and teach us. And sometimes it's quite close to you that a brother can help you in this, or the brother sitting next to you can help you just to understand something more, or maybe it's your spouse. So we have this openness to talk to each other and to let someone talk to me. And Paul, he says he has this supplication.
Können die Brüder hier im Kolosserbrief, er redet übrigens nicht nur von sich selber, sondern von wir.
So in Colossians, he is not just talking about himself, he talks in we, so not only him, but how can these brother or this we get us all to be mature? That's verse 28 in chapter 1. In him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. So if a person, if he builds some crops on a field, there's some work to do. You need to sow the seeds, and then you need to give water to them. But then there's a point you cannot do something anymore. You need to wait for the plant to grow. Then you're depending on the weather. It's also sometimes a reason of frustration. So how is the weather? The weather is so important that it's not just only a small plant, but that you can reap also the crops. And so that means in the right moment there needs to be rain or there needs to be sun. And in the same way, we need to be depending on what the Lord works in us, in everything that we understand, that we see. We need the Lord who provides the growth, who perfects us. And therefore we have this prayer, Lord, perfect us. And also in verse 29 he says, to this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So there is a result, a consequence, mightily. So it needs also this inward result. It needs the word, it needs the direction, it needs the clarity of understanding, but it also needs to have this inwardly consequence, this inwardly result of this working of the Lord. And in chapter 2, it continues that their hearts may be encouraged. So why do the hearts need to be encouraged? Was there in the church in Colossae, was there maybe someone died and therefore they needed to be encouraged? Well, we don't know. So in the last year, I've experienced some things, and it's also necessary then to be encouraged. But I was astonished in Corinthians how much the Lord speaks, how much encouragement He provides for us. So if you can come to the Lord, you can experience to be encouraged, to be comforted by the Lord. And Jesus, in the years in which He spent with the disciples, well, he announced that He will be gone someday, and for the disciples that was a painful thought. But what did the Lord or Jesus announce to them? He said He will give them a comforter. There will be a comforter. Isn't that wonderful? There will be a different comforter. He will send a different comforter to them. And when He goes away, then there will be this comforter. Let's read these verses in John 14. John 14, 16 and 17. So, the young brothers have read a verse already, perhaps the young sisters. John 14, verses 16 to 17. All young sisters, all together, who want, who can read all together. John 14, verse 16 to 17. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Amen. It says, I will pray the Father. In the German translation, it says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper. So, when Jesus went away, the Helper, the Spirit came. And then we will see, well, he ascended, and now He's sitting on the throne. But at the same time, He sent the Spirit. And the Spirit came into our most inwards being. And He brings us into this reality. And we can have this assurance. I have the Spirit. And I want to enter this reality. Sometimes it's the question, how? How can I enter this experience? Sometimes it's more difficult. Sometimes it's we cannot understand. It's understandable. Sometimes we read something and you ask yourself how it is possible to experience this. But through faith and through the Spirit, we can enter this experience. And let us seek this more. Oh Lord, guide me, guide all of us into this reality even more. He says, from mine He will give and preach to you. So, what He has brought into us by the Spirit, that will become our reality. And that's also a mystery in Colossians. Why does Paul say he has a conflict for the ones he has not seen yet? So there might be different explanations. Ask the Lord. But I want to say today, it was necessary to see that this word was not just a word, but also in Paul and in the brothers, it was a reality. And today, we don't have just one brother in which this has come reality already. We have many. And it's so precious to see what the Lord worked out in the brothers and sisters. It's not just an interpretation. It is revealed in His church. and we should estimate this so highly. Yesterday we already talked about the books. And we will forward them, and we will send the books to brothers and sisters. But sometimes I think if you have read a book, and it's probably difficult if you're sitting alone and you read this book and you enjoy the truth in this, but he has no one with whom he can capture this reality, then that's unfortunate. So we must say to all, or come to the church, let us capture together this truth and enter the reality. And that's also what Paul says next in Colossians 2, not only the hearts shall be encouraged, but also knit together in love. So to capture the full Christ, we need to be fit together. So one is too less. Two are too less. We need the brothers and sisters. And we need to come together so that we can capture Christ together. And this is, and today evening, I want to announce a request or come closer to the head so that together we can capture him more. And I want to give an example. So probably many of you have flown already, and on a plane there's this announcement: we have an outward position. So what does this mean? So the plane is not connected to the airport, but you need to get on a bus, and the bus will drive you to the plane, and then you can get onto the plane. So this position, not close to the airport, but somewhere when you need to drive a bus. This is not comfortable. So everyone normally prefers to arrive directly at the airport and to disembark quickly. But so come closer, come a bit closer to, and you can say, oh, this is so important, and well, I have this, and I want to remain in this position. Well, yes, okay, but still, let us get a bit closer. Let us all get a bit closer together so that we can capture Christ together. Do not stay at the position in which you might have seen something. Come closer. Come closer also to the head. And sometimes it's very practical to be closer together. Do not just be at a conference as a guest once a year or twice a year, but seek how together we can be built up several times a week and knit together in love. Being knit together in love, attaining to all riches. So there is the riches, not just in Stuttgart. I mean, not just in Stuttgart. Please don't misunderstand. But to capture with all saints. So we had the verse in Ephesians, so that we can understand with all saints the depth, the width, the length. That was Ephesians 3, verse 18. We may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Amen. And then he says again in Colossians 2, verse 2, the mystery of God. Amen. The mystery of God. I want to ask a question. This mystery, Can you explain this mystery in its entirety? Yesterday I've said that, or previously, I used to think that that is possible, that it is possible that I can reach a point and then I can and have the full understanding of this mystery. But today I would say, in all things that the Lord has revealed to himself, it remains a mystery. It is revealed a part is revealed, but it remains a mystery. And why? So today I would say, because it is closely connected with the person of God. Sometimes we have this demand or this need or to understand and explain and to write it down, and then you take it home with you to have, we realize we have some lack. Do you know that there is a situation and then you realize, oh, there is a lack of patience or a lack of love, or well, there are so many virtues in the scripture, and if we have this, we are in this life with the Lord and we do services, then we realize our lack, what is, but then we can bring this lack to the Lord and tell him, Lord, I need more love for my brothers and sisters. I need more patience, or I need more love, especially for those who are so different than me. But the Lord will not give us a vessel with lots of love, or he will give us a recipe for patience that we can take home. That is not how this works. Do not seek for more love or more patience, but let us seek Christ. Let us seek Christ and hold on to Christ. That is the way. There is this known verse about knowledge, in which Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, I would say knows anything of Christ, he knows nothing yet. As he ought to know. This is how it is. Today, even though sometimes we need preachings, and we need an knowledge of the word, but that is not sufficient. We need the Lord himself, and we need this unity, the fellowship with him, and this cling unto him, hold on to him, so that he can continue to guide us. Sometimes we are satisfied if the Lord has revealed himself a piece. So we pray for a decision, we pray for the right study, or we pray for the right wife. We pray for this or that, and we bring this prayer to the Lord, and then we search for a decision by the Lord. And if the Lord is merciful, then there might be an answer, but then we might be tempted to go away with this answer. Okay, the Lord has guided me to have this study course and in this city. So, okay, that's fine. But how does it continue? So now you know that you're supposed to do this study course. So begin and abide by the Lord. Continue to seek him. And in many things, he wants to bring us into this experience with him, so that we seek his guidance, we seek his grace, so that we hold on to this, and to let us be continually guided by the Lord. So perhaps he has guided you one step, but be careful, maybe in two steps, then there is a turn to the right. So abide in the fellowship with him. Amen. And today, I'm sure we will add more later. But Paul, he says, on the one side, in Colossians, he says they shall not be deceived by persuasive words. So this is also an encouragement, an admonishing, or if we speak about Christ, that we do not let ourselves be distracted. So that we are not distracted away from the person of Christ. And the disciples, they asked, when they asked Jesus about the sign of times and when, so big interests of people, when will be the time? And Jesus, he says, no one knows except the Father. So, well, the disciples, they would have liked to know. But Jesus, they give them a clue. There will be many, and they will try and attempt, or false prophets, who try to lead them away from Jesus. But here, Colossians, that is admonishing. We abide by Christ, even though someone brings something very right, very true. So this preaching or the speaking about something good, so this can open a door to be guided away. Well, in what this person says, he's truly right. And then so quickly you are on a way after this person because he said something correct, right? But we must not be distracted away or led away from Christ. That's Colossians 2, verse 4. So now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. And verse 5. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And it's interesting that here, Paul, he speaks about order. So Christ and me, and the saints and me, and Christ. So why is there need for an order? So if everyone holds onto Christ, but it is different, this order is automatically, or will there be automatically if everyone holds on to Christ? And yesterday I read a bit in the Greek text, so because I find it interesting to look, oh, in what other verses is this order mentioned? So this, the word order in which Paul speaks here is the same word often mentioned in the New Testament of the order of Melchizedek. Very interesting. First in Luke 1, the high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. And then also here in Colossians 2, there is this order. And it is the order of the Lord, directed onto the Lord. And in the same way, in these letters, we see again and again how Paul shows how this order looks in a very practical way. So sometimes we wonder in Ephesians or in Philippians, there are these practical encouragements or sometimes admonishing or to admonish us. But for example, another example, Ephesians 5, there's much encouragement and verses to exhort us. But then Paul, he speaks about an order. Chapter 5, verse 23, the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
So,
that are the, not the verses in which anyone would like to preach about, but if we experience the Lord, just as in Ephesians 3, 2 and 1, it shows. So if we see Christ, this order will be there. And in the same way, it's, if we experience the Lord more, it is good to get into this order. And sometimes this is a word that is not quite fitting in this time. And someone might think, oh, what does this mean? Does this mean so my husband does never need to clean the dishes, for example? But that is not what is written here. There's no, not mentioning the household is here not mentioned. So in the same way, we can be very modern or have a very modern way to keep the whole household. And we are living in different times than this was written. So this is not about to implement former traditions from medieval times, but it is about what the Word shows here to experience this, and that it is still valid. And at the end of the day, it is like this. And if you miss this order, then you miss Christ. At this position, you're lacking something. And therefore, let us also be encouraged to get into this. So in the outline, there are some more examples. In Ephesians 6, there are the children mentioned. So children, obey your parents. Yeah, children, chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So here, this order also can have a promise. And in this case, that you may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. But so if you enter this order, then we will experience his care, his how he supplies us. Which verse? Romans 10. Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. So this richness or this riches of the Lord, there you cannot separate them. From the reign of the Lord. Yeah. So if we confess he is Lord, then, and if we bow our knees under his reign, and if we let ourselves be fitted into this order, then we will have access to these riches. This is A mystery, yeah.
Vers 5 von Epheser
so,
5.
Ephesians 6, verse 5. Another verse.
Er spricht da von den Sklaven.
He speaks about slaves.
Dem Fleisch mit Furcht und Zittern in Einfalt eures Herzens als dem
About the servants. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, which fear and trembling. So, well, this also leads about the unbelievers. So, another provision, he says, it does not matter if your master is a believer or an unbeliever. Still, you need to be obedient. So, well, what about that? Your boss might be lying. So if he is lying, then I do not need to obey him. So this small line, so because we do not want to partake in lying, but still, the Lord says we should be obedient. Also, there's a difference. We do not join in lying, but if... But still, we enter this order of the Lord, and this is a salvation to us. And recently, from my earthly bosses, I had a task, and I did not like this task at all. But, well, it's not your first day on the job, and you might have the one or another way to work around this task, and some I continue to work, and I thought, okay, somehow I try to not to do this task and just put it on the pile. But the Lord showed me, no, you have to do this task. So I just didn't want to see that I have to do this task. So then I prepared it, and then I did it, and I talked about it. And later I submitted to the Lord. Lord, also at this day, you will give me the strength to manage this task. And well, how ended things? So I gave it to the Lord, I prepared everything. And in the end, on this day, I could not go to work. So I really was sick, actually. And the doctor told me, oh, I must not go to work. So in my case, it was a very practical salvation. So it will not be like this in every situation, but the Lord has a way for our situation. So the Lord says, submit, I will do. And well, if I would not have been sick on this day, then the Lord, I'm sure, would have given or would have provided me to manage to do this task. And it's so precious to know the Lord in this way. And another verse, 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5.
Seid den Älteren untertan.
1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's also a mystery. Why does Paul say it this way? Why? Do young people, or should young people submit to elders? Well, until what age? So probably 18. Until 18, you're an adult, and then you're mature, and then it's enough. So in other countries, it's with 21, you are an adult. But here, I don't see that an age of 18-year-old is mentioned. So it is grace to submit to elders. Sometimes someone who is 50, sometimes perhaps someone who is 70 years old, The Lord gives the grace for this. And I cannot add more. Just try it out and expect the blessing of the Lord, just as he says, he gives grace to the humble ones. So sometimes the Lord says, oh well, you could have done this differently, or he says, oh well, this we should not, or in the we've done for 10 years, and now we should do it differently. So I guess most elder saints are also open to change something. But in the end, we must be capable to be submissive, even though something seems old-fashioned or so what it is that you want? Do you want to be modern, and or do you want to experience the grace of God? And I think in the church life we should always choose grace, to the grace to submit, and the Lord will give the blessing, even though if you do something which is not right, but the responsibility belongs to the person that decided to do it this way. So you can also submit that to the Lord. So but the providing or also it comes out that we all submit each other. That leads to verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Amen. That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This is so precious, so liberating. You don't need to fight for this. Fight for the brothers and sisters, but do not fight for your what you're right about. The Lord will make it. The Lord will build his burg as he began it. He will fulfill it. Amen. For he cares for you. And in Colossians, come to the end, chapter 2, verse 6. That also is fitting to yesterday's topics, working together. As you therefore have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Colossians 2, verse 6. So, I don't know how you are feeling, but actually I would like very much to ask Paul, what do you really mean? So it needs more explanations. So with what the fellowship that we had in the past meetings, well, it needs to be experienced. Let us take the word and use our spirit and live with the Lord. So if we have a service here in this house, so what do you want to do with this verse? Well, go there, do your service, take the Lord there with you and walk in him. Experience how the Lord provides so richly, how the Lord provides us with wisdom, how the Lord gives us the success or a successful doing. And to Galatians, in Galatians 5, verse 26, in a sense, just do it. We have the Lord and we have the Spirit. So claim the Spirit, claim the Lord. So with the Lord together, let us be bold and to abide in the Lord. And the Lord, he will provide. The Lord will provide us also with a direction. And in this way, in a very wondrous way, he will bring us to be mature, to build us. He will make us steadfast in faith, and then we can overflow in thanksgiving. Isn't that so wonderful? What a promise we have if we hold on to Him, if we capture Him, and if we reach the goal. Amen. Let us have further fellowship. And the verse in Galatians was chapter 5, 20, 25. If we